to teach tonight. Amen. If you'd like to stand just so you can know that we're transitioning into something different. For some reason, it helps our brain to understand that. And if you can turn to Luke chapter 4, verse 18. I know I've read this verse a number of times, probably teaching, and I'm going to start there again tonight. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Jesus has just come out of the wilderness 40 days. He goes to the into the tabernacle, and he picks up, he gets a scroll, and he reads from the scroll. And this is where we pick this up. Luke 4, 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Lord, we thank you for your presence in this place. We ask you, God, that you would continue to move. I ask you, Lord, to anoint my heart and my mind, my thoughts, that I would speak and say the things you would say. Anoint our hearts that we would receive your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. You can be seated. Amen. Amen. This is going to sound odd, but I could use your prayer because my voice was fine until right before I stepped into this pulpit. And I am losing my voice, and I have no idea why. I'm not sick. I've not had any kind of cold, cough, or anything. But my voice is having issues right now. So pray for me, please. No, I don't need one. Thank you. Thank you, though. I want to talk about something that really has become a personal journey for myself. And it's something that I've, in this personal journey, I have really observed in the body of Christ. And I find myself on this journey, I find myself gravitating more and more to this passage of Scripture here in the fourth chapter of Luke, and really gravitating to one phrase in this verse. And the more and more I look at the world, and more I look at where we are, and even in the church, I find this to be more prevalent than I think I've noted in the past. And I think what I want to talk about tonight is what Jesus is referring to when he says, I was sent to set at liberty them that are bruised. And for a little while, I was going to say a few minutes, but that would have been a lie. For a little while, I want to teach on this subject, a wounded spirit versus a broken spirit. I want to talk about the difference between a wounded spirit and a broken spirit. I woke up early Saturday morning, and to be honest, I don't know if I was dreaming. I really don't remember that transition of waking up. I wake up early every day. It was probably around 5 o'clock. That's normally the time I began to get up in the morning sometimes a little before that, but it was somewhere in that time of the day. And as I began to wake up, the very first conscious thought that I had was two words. And the words that immediately came into my mind, and I don't necessarily say that this is normal for me, but it is in that time frame that often God will begin to direct me, because it's before my spirit or my heart engages, and I began to think and plan. So oftentimes, or sometimes, right at that time, God will say some things to me. And the two words that I awoken to, and I could not move it out of my spirit, was the two words, a wounded spirit. And as soon as that phrase, or as soon as those words came to my mind, immediately after that, I thought of the verse here in Luke chapter 4, where Jesus has come from, as I mentioned, Jesus has come from 40 days in the wilderness. He's been tempted, he's been fasting, he's been tempted of the devil. And he comes to the tabernacle, and he takes the scroll that is given to him, and he turns in the scroll to the chapter in Isaiah, and he begins to read. And this phrase that is in the King James in the New Testament, slightly different from what is in Isaiah, but the phrase here has captured my mind often in the last few years, to be honest with you, this journey that I want to talk about. And it is, Jesus said, I've come to set at liberty them that are bruised. And so I want to connect, or I feel like what Jesus is talking about there is what I want to talk about. And when the scripture refers to a wounded spirit, we read in Psalms chapter 51, if we can put Psalms 51, 17 on the screen, we read in Psalms chapter 51 and verse 17, we read, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. So the writer in Psalms is making a statement here. He's saying, God, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. But he goes on to say that a broken and a contrite heart, God will not despise. And really what he's saying, God is looking for, God desires, God is going to use, God wants that brokenness. That's a broken spirit. But then we read in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14. And Proverbs 18 and 14 says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear it? The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear it? In the Word of God, we read about a wounded spirit, and we read about a broken spirit. And in many ways, we could kind of say that these two things are similar, that they're closely connected, if I could say that. But there's a difference, and that's what I want to talk about this evening. And both a wounded spirit and a broken spirit, these similar terms, they indicate distress. They indicate in our life maybe some anguish and some turmoil. They both indicate some trouble, if I can use that word. So there seems to be some connectivity to the two words. But the same Hebrew word in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14, that we just read there, translated wounded, is also translated in Proverbs 17, 22. We read, a broken spirit drieth up the bones. The word broken there is the same word that is used in Proverbs 18 as wounded. And both of those, those words, the literal translation of those words, of that word that is used there, is stricken. And that's the translation of the word is stricken. And both of these verses, and if you go to the NIV, you'll read in the NIV, both of those verses, that word is translated or are written, a crushed spirit. And in the Young's literal translation, that word is written as a smitten spirit. Okay? So the word used broken more often is not the same word that we see used for wounded in these two verses. And really that word wounded there, translated wounded, is used only, I think, six times in the Old Testament in that context. And so Proverbs 14, Proverbs 18 and 14 is speaking of something different than that which we read in Psalms 51 and 17, which is a broken spirit, and Proverbs 18 and 14 is talking about a wounded spirit. I believe that this wounded spirit is the thing that Jesus says, I've come to set at liberty those that have this. People that find themselves with this wounded spirit, I've come to bring liberty to them. And I mentioned that this is, and I'm going to go into this a little bit more, how this has become a journey in my own life. Proverbs 18 and 14 makes a statement. It says, it makes a statement, and then it asks a question. And the statement, if you can put Proverbs 14 and 18 back on the screen for me, please. The statement that it makes, it says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. So the spirit of a man, my nature, my humanity, my ability, if I can say it that way, who I am and how I am made up will I probably said that backwards. The verse we were talking about. So the things that come to me as a humanity, my spirit, my humanity can sustain those infirmities, whether it might be sickness or disease or weaknesses. Those things, I in myself, I can sustain those things. I can deal with those. We all have a way of process, processing trouble, if you will, in my spirit. But then he goes on to ask a question, but a wounded spirit, who can bear that? He says, I'm not talking about your everyday natural trouble. I'm not talking about a bad day on the job. I'm not talking about traffic. I'm not talking about the don't have money to pay the bills. I'm not talking about the natural things of life. Your spirit can, you can sustain those things. I've put in you the ability to Paul says it this way. He says, I've come to a place where I can be content in what state I find myself into. That's what the writer in Proverbs is talking about. There's a part of me that God has inherently put in me that I can sustain some stuff. But he says, then there's something else. Then there's something that I cannot bear. There's something that is beyond my ability as a man, beyond my ability as the creation of God to sustain in myself. I cannot bear a wounded spirit. There's things that are going to transpire in my life that are going to wound me in a way that I cannot bear them. I have no answer to them. I have no ability to cope with them. And I believe this is what Jesus is referring to when he says, because if we look at it, we understand there's a captivity that comes to being wounded. There's this, and he uses the term bruise there. And if you've ever had a bruise, if you ever a deep bruise, something below the surface, something that is very painful, we protect ourselves. We put something, we don't want it touched. We don't want anyone to get near it because it will bring pain. If I can keep it isolated, if I can keep it away from anyone getting to it, then it won't hurt me. And so we become captive to the wound. And that is what this is not brokenness. This is something beyond what brokenness. This is a wound. This is something in our spirits. And the writer in Proverbs said, who can bear it? Who can deal with it? Who can live with it? We endure all kinds of physical afflictions. We endure all kinds of things in our life. And we learn to deal with them. But a wounded spirit is beyond what we can handle. And so then we begin that captivity, that place that we need liberty from. We have a term that we use in our world today, that there's a coping mechanism. You see, we still have to live. We still have to exist. And because I can't bear it, there's got to be this coping mechanism. And that's the thing that I've seen more and more and more prevalent, not just in the world, but in the body of Christ. As a born-again child of God, I came to a revelation that I had a wounded spirit. Oh, I was broken. I had a broken spirit. I was contrite. I had repentance in my life. I had the Holy Ghost. I was doing my best to live for God. But there was this thing in me that was not right. There was this wound in my spirit. And I would find myself in a place of rage, and I would find myself in a place where this destructive mindset would come upon me with the smallest provocation. Whew, I did not plan to do this, but right after my wife and I, we began to come to Antioch Central. I came to Antioch Central, and one of the things, I used to play a lot of softball. Actually, Pastor asked me the other day if I'm officially retired. He's trying to kill this old man. And I'm going to be very transparent. I'm going to say something no one in this room knows. I was on the softball team, and we were playing in a softball tournament, and we did very poorly in a softball tournament. And so after the softball tournament, that was on a Saturday, I came to church the next day, and this hand was in a cast. And I told everybody that I broke this knuckle going into second base and had a collision and end up breaking this knuckle right here. But the truth of the matter was that I broke that knuckle punching a refrigerator because of a wounded spirit. And some things that happened after that softball, and I was home, and some, I don't even necessarily understand it, but in a moment of rage, I punched the refrigerator instead of punching something else or doing something else, and I had what they call a boxer's fracture. And I had to go get a cast, and I was too embarrassed to tell people that I broke my hand in a moment of rage. And so I lied. I said that I hurt myself playing softball. I did not understand at that point that there was this wound in me. I didn't understand what was going on in my life, but I had a wounded spirit. There was something down inside that I could not bear. There was something down inside that was beyond what I knew how to cope with. And the way I coped with it was anger and rage. First time my wife saw that, we'd been married about a year. She was pregnant with our first child. And we were poor. So the youth department, I was a youth pastor at the time, and the youth department, the youth group, they got us, they went to a thrift store or something, they got us this crib that I was putting together for our first child, and I was putting it together and it was falling apart. I was putting it together and it would fall apart. And I was putting it together and it was falling apart. Well, that happened about a half a dozen times. And about the time it happened that last time, my wife was walking by the door. As I turned that crib into kindling, she had never seen that in me at all. I just lost it. I busted, kicked, stomped. kicked open the back door of our trailer and I threw it out the back door because there was a wound in me. There was this place. I have the Holy Ghost. I'm broken. I'm in the altar. I have a contrite spirit. But there's these two different things. There's a broken spirit and there's a wounded spirit. And I came to a place where that I understood there was something not what like it should be. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. 2 Corinthians 7 and 9 says, "Now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed, to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death." So Paul is writing, and I don't have time to go into the whole context there, but Paul is writing, and what he's saying there, he's talking about a broken spirit. He's talking about repentance. He's talking about the benefits of godly sorrow. That's a broken spirit. There's this place that God brings us where he can break us, where he can bring us to a place where we understand that we need him, that he died for us and that there's hope and there's peace. That's a broken spirit. Paul said, I'm bringing you this place of repentance to salvation. But then he goes on to talk about a sorrow that the world worketh, that a sorrow of the world that worketh death. I'm trying to help us to understand there's a difference. I was humbled before God. I had come to a place of repentance. I accepted his forgiveness and his grace, and I was striving to be a son of God. That's the broken spirit. That's what we all are hoping to do. That's what God is looking for. Amen? A broken spirit's not a bad thing. God will not, broken heart, a contrite spirit. God, you will not despise. That word despise doesn't mean you're going to not scoff at it. It means that's what he wants. That's what he's looking for. That's what he can use. But dealing with the sorrow of the world is a wounded spirit. So if we take a look, and I could spend a lot of time on a lot of that. If we take a look at Proverbs chapter 18, the chapter there, we will see one of the biggest sources of a wounded spirit. And not only one of the biggest sources, but also one of the biggest indicators of, do I have a wounded spirit? And so let me just talk about myself for just one more quick moment and tell you how I came to a place where I understood I had a wounded spirit. So in 2018, we began CR here at Antioch Central. It was the first time that we had started the CR process, and I was asked at that time, Brother Osborne, thank you. Whew. Brother Osborne was leading it, and I was asked to be his oversight, or basically to be what we would call in CR his sponsor. But I was going to be his oversight for CR. So me being the wise man that I am, I thought, well, if I'm going to be the oversight of this program, I probably ought to have a little bit of understanding of what this program is. So I decided that I was going to go to CR for a month to come to an understanding of what CR was. I didn't go there to attend CR. I went there to understand what this leader was going to be dealing with so that I could be oversight and a protector for him. That's why I went there. That was the purpose. God's a funny guy. Took me about 2 weeks to realize, brother, you got issues. You're wounded. And very quickly, I transitioned from going to CR as an observer. And I began to understand that there was something broken. I'm sorry, there was something wounded down deep in my spirit. And so began the journey of healing. So began the setting at liberty that I had needed for so many years. See, I got the Holy Ghost when I was 14 years old. But there was this wound that happened before all of that time in my life. And the Holy Ghost, I'm sorry, some of you are going to get real upset with me when I say what I'm about to say. But the Holy Ghost, it doesn't heal that wound. Not by itself. We, for so long in the church, have preached, you get the Holy Ghost, it fixes everything. It doesn't. There's some things that the Word of God tells us how to fix those things. And so began my journey to come to a place where I began to be set at liberty. And so I still attend CR. And so if I were at CR, I would address you this way. I would say, hi, my name is Jim, and I'm an overcomer in Christ Jesus. And I am thankful for the things that he's done in my life. But on this quest, I began to see some things. So if we can look at Proverbs, I'm going to, if you can keep up with me in the back, I'm going to jump to a couple verses here in Proverbs chapter 18. So verse 4 says this, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters. Proverbs 18 and 4. And then Proverbs 18 and 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Words produce either death or life in those speaking them and in those who receive them. I think if you read through Proverbs, you're going to notice one of the biggest sources of wounded spirits is the same weapon that our adversary has in his arsenal, and that's the voice. Words that are spoken, things that are said, those are the things, are the biggest, one of the biggest things. There are other things that can wound our spirit, and for sake of time, I can't go into all of them, but there are other things that can wound our spirit, but I think one of the biggest things that we see is the spoken word. And we see it in relationships, even relationships in the church. Christian relationships are broken and wounded by critical words spoken between a husband and a wife, a mother and a father, a child and a parent, a brother and a sister. Critical words, words that wound, words that cut, words that damage, words that penetrate beyond that part of us that we can sustain. Proverbs 18 verse 6 says, a fool gets into constant fights. His mouth is his undoing. His words endanger him. That's the Living Bible. A fool gets into constant fights. His mouth is his undoing. His words endanger him. The words we speak penetrate very deeply. And the penetrating and negative critical words that are spoken, words of gossip. We see in verse 18 of Proverbs 18, verse 8, I'm sorry, we see, and this is the NIV, the words of gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's innermost part. And that word innermost there is talking about our spirit. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say one of the biggest things that wound us are the spoken word, the critical word, the cutting word, the damaging word. But the other thing I really want to say is I'm going to put this on the other side of the coin. You might say, how do I know if I have a wounded spirit? People with a wounded spirit, the things that we read about here in Proverbs, they're saying those things. If you have a wounded spirit, you're gossiping. If you have a wounded spirit, the things that he talks about here, the fool is in constant fights and his mouth is his undoing. Those words that come out are the indicator of a broken, wounded spirit. There's a phrase that we use in CR that is very applicable. I'm going to say it a little differently here. But the reality of it is this. Someone with a wounded spirit will wound another spirit. Not because they want to, not because they choose to, not because they desire to, but because they're wounded. And when we have a wounded spirit, that wounded spirit comes out in the things that we say. That wounded spirit comes out in the words that we project. And we wound other people. If you go back to the beginning, we find that man was created in the image of God without wounds.
I was thinking about something this week, and I don't think I've ever thought about this before. Now, if you read Genesis, you read the first few books of the Bible, we can make a quick assumption that God created Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve got up, they ran across the garden, and they ate the forbidden fruit. Happened that quick. I don't think that's how that went down. We don't know some stuff. And I was thinking today, or this week, I think it was yesterday in the morning as I was praying, I was thinking about Adam and Eve, and I was thinking about the garden. And before Adam, before Eve took the first bite of that forbidden fruit, I can't hardly imagine this. That's why I never thought about it before. Before they took the first bite of that fruit, Eve did not say one critical thing about the way that Adam tended the garden. She didn't look at him and say, Adam, what on earth were you thinking when you staked up those tomatoes? I have no idea what tending the garden meant back then, so bear with me. But there was not one critical word spoken. Not one time that Adam, before he took the first bite of that fruit, did he have some snarky, critical comeback to Eve? It didn't happen. Because there was no sin. There was no wound. There was no influence of the things that we have been touched with. And I have come to understand in my journey that because I was wounded, I wounded people. And I damaged people. There's a fair chance that one of my kids or both of my kids are watching. Oftentimes, if they know that I'm teaching, they'll watch. One of the things that has always been an issue, I'll use that term, if I can use that term, a stumbling block with my family, especially my children, is this guy right here, who's very open and very transparent. He doesn't live at my house. At least he definitely didn't live there when my kids were little. Very close, very fearful of being. And so there's a transparency and an openness and a freedom to speak that I've experienced in a pulpit that I did not experience before I understood I was wounded and began that journey to liberty. And I know that some of those things, and even some of the things that I said, wounded my children. And so all of that to come to this, to get to where I'm going to conclude with. So the reality that there's a difference between a broken spirit and a wounded spirit. So what is the balm of Gilead, if I can use that scriptural term? What is the balm of Gilead, or what is the thing that will heal, or that the Word of God helps us to understand is the answer to a wounded spirit? What was the resolution to my revelation that I had a wounded spirit? It's really quite simple, really. I had to come to a place of forgiveness. I had to come to a place, first of all, where I had to comprehend you were wounded. And every wound has a source. And I had to come to a place where I could articulate in my own mind when and where I was wounded. And I had to be able to say to myself, to God, and if applicable, not necessary, to someone, I forgive you. But I had to be able to come to a place, and I began to look at the wounds. I began to look at the source of wounds in my life. And I began to process those wounds, and I began to, and I think I've said this before, I came to a place where I understood, and this is the key, I came to a place where I understood the person that wounded me was wounded. And so when I came to the place where I understood that my father was wounded, when I came to a place that I understood that my mother had wounds, they had things in their life they did not know how to bear. And because of that, they wounded me. Once I could come to an understanding where I could articulate they were wounded, it was easy for me to say, I forgive them. I didn't have to go say, this is what you did to me and I forgive you. I came to a place where I understood they were wounded. It didn't make it right. It didn't make it okay. But it made it so that I understood it. It made it so I comprehended. They were wounded. They were not attacking me. They did not intend to hurt me. They did not set out on a journey. They were wounded. And it made it easy for me to say, I forgive. And when I could say, I forgive, the balm, the chains, and the captivity of that liberty, of that wound began to move away. My spirit began to be free from that wound. And then I began to understand the other part of that. I began to understand that other people are wounded. So now I began to help other people with a wounded spirit. And as I began to focus on their wounded spirit, I was not focused on my wounded spirit. And that's more of that liberty, that opening up. So the thing that is key to coming to a place of liberty, if you have a wounded spirit, And I honestly believe that there's more of us in the church. Not everyone has a wounded spirit like I had, where there was rage and destruction. And if I was in CR, I could say I cannot remember the last time. I don't have my 60-day chip or my 2-year chip in my pocket. I don't have a chip. I don't know. I can't remember the last time, though, that spirit of rage overtook me. I can't remember the last time that uncontrollable anger that was part of who I was revealed itself. Because he set it liberty. He set at liberty those that are bruised. And the thing that brought me to the place on this journey was two things, if I can kind of wrap it up. And there's many ways to get to this place. And that's, the Bible says, to search yourself. There's self-examination. I've got to come to a place where I admit, where I say, I'm wounded. Not you wounded me. Not this is what you did to me. I come to a place where I say, I'm wounded. I admit that I'm wounded. And God, I can't fix this wound. I need you to help me be set at liberty. Help me to know how to forgive. There's many. I mentioned CR. That was an avenue that helped me. I think the Bible talks about having people in our lives. It doesn't have to be CR, but there needs to be someone in your life. There needs to be someone in your life. Maybe it's your deacon. You get to the place where you can say to your deacon, I'm wounded. This is what's going on. Can you help me to pray about it? Can you help me to come to a place? And it's something that you don't, you see, all of those years in the church, I felt like I could not let people know that was inside of me. Because I was a born-again Christian. I was a licensed minister with the United Pentecostal Church International. I was a youth pastor. That can be in you. So it was buried. It was down there. But as long as it was there, and now I can, because God has set at liberty, now I can say, this is what he can do for you. The wounded, don't allow the enemy to put shame and this weight over you that says, I can't let, no, you can't maybe let everyone know at this moment you're wounded, but there's someone. You cannot get to the other side by yourself. We're getting ready to have life courses. There's a life course that's going to be taught. It's called Wild at Heart. Wild at Heart is a men's life course, and it's talking about this right here, that men have been wounded, and they have to come to a place where they can allow that wound. There's avenues. The adversary would say, there's no, you have to put it behind. You have to keep it hidden. The biggest thing is we have to be able to forgive, and we have to admit, I'm wounded. And when we come to a place where we can say, I'm wounded, God help me to forgive. I'm going to say this and I'm going to close. I'm going to be done. The same thing that causes me to be broken can cause me to be wounded. In other words, what I'm trying to say is God can use the things that could wound us to break us. I want to give you an example. Peter, you're going to be offended with me. Peter, something says, I need to break you, Peter. This is Jim's paraphrase. I need to break you, Peter, because I got a plan for you that the only way for you to be who I need you to be is I've got to break you. But Peter, I've prayed for you. I've prayed for you. And when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. That same thing, depending on what happened in Peter's life, could have broken him or wounded him. It's a fine line between broken and wounded. And really, what makes the difference is how we handle that thing in our life. How we come to a place, can we forgive? Can we go to God and allow Him to allow ourselves to put it in His hand? Or does this critical mindset attach to us and we begin to blame, point fingers, accuse? Those are the things that say, I'm wounded. But if I can come to a place, and it's a simple thing, and the adversary knows how easily we can be wounded, God wants to break us. And you know, we use that term. It's a biblical term. We say it, and it's such a, it sounds so negative by itself, because it sounds like we're saying that God wants to damage us. But the difference is that the adversary wants to break our soul, or our the spiritual man. God wants to break our carnality. God wants to break the natural man. A wounded spirit is a wound of the spiritual man, not the carnal man. And you, if you can stand, I would say tonight that we would, I have been, let me go back and say it this way. I have been as real as I know how to be about my wounded spirit. I didn't go into the, it doesn't matter in this setting, the things that wounded me. Those things aren't important in this setting. There was a time where they were important. I had to talk about those things with someone that could help me through them. But now that's not important. In this setting, it's important to know that there was a wound and there's a path away from that wound. And now I don't have to be ashamed that I was wounded. I don't have to be secretive that there was a wound in my life, because I can freely understand that there's liberty. Does that mean I never deal with wound? No. But I understand how they happen. Funny story. Where's Brother Middleton? He slipped out. Good. I can talk about him. Oh, he's back there. No, the younger Brother Middleton. Sunday, when the preacher was here, my brain's foggy. When the preacher was here Sunday before last. Yeah, Brother Dowdy, thank you. We were in the altar, and man, powerful move of God was going on, and I was over here, and I was praying for someone. And I was praying for him, felt led to pray for him. And Brother Isaac Middleton came up behind me right when I got done praying, Brother Isaac Middleton. He said to me, he tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, very quickly said, "Do you know what you're praying for?" And it was like so out of the blue. My brain was like, "No." And he walked away. What on earth was that? And I'm like, why did he ask? What is that all about? And so I said, and it just kept going. I got to go ask him what. So service was over. He was something. I was something next to him. He was gone, and I didn't get to talk to him. And I went home, and all day. All day. And I began to, man, did I miss something? I don't understand. Did something happen? I was stressed, dude. Come to church Sunday night and didn't get to talk to him before church. And church was over, and I said, man, I got to talk to you. Because I said, man, you asked me a question in the altar. And he was like, what did I ask? What do you mean, what did you ask? I didn't say that. I thought that. I said, I told him what happened. And he said, he kind of chuckled. He said, no. He said, I was just curious. I was just wondering if people were telling each other what they were praying about. I was just curious. I said, I thought, did I miss something? No, you didn't. You didn't miss nothing. I was just curious. What's my point? That easily I could have just allowed. The enemy wanted to take that innocent question. And he wanted to take that, just that little innocent thing. And he wanted to begin to just kind of poke me and twist and nudge and get my spirit riled up, and you know, on one side there, you know, the guy on each side of your shoulder. I got those. One over here, you can't see him. I got this guy over here, he's saying, you know, he was saying this. And I got this guy over here saying, you missed it. And I'm like, and you know, then the other normal part of me is saying, you know, it was nothing. Leave it alone. Go on. But I'm like, oh, no. That's how I get a wounded spirit. That's how something so innocent, because I allow my nature, my voice, I allow the adversary to begin to dictate to me the storyline. So, Brother Middleton and I asked him, we laughed about it. We kind of said, whoa, okay, that was funny. And, you know, and I'm like, devil, you're a liar. Because I know that I can be wounded. I know that the possibility of a wound is there in my life. And I, now that I am on the other side of a wound, I guard that word, that verse means so much more to me now, because I guard my heart from a wound. I'm not going to let some casual comment. I'm going to go ask someone, did I do something? Did I say something? Can we talk about this? I'm going to bring a place of forgiveness. I'm going to not let something fester to a place, because that's the difference between broken and wounded, the same thing. If it begins to turn into a fester in our life, Peter, you're going to be offended with me. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I'm going to do something that offends you. But I've prayed for you that your faith doesn't fail. I've prayed for you that you're not wounded. If you have a wound tonight, or maybe you would say, God, do I have a wound? Are some of these things that I see in my life because there's a wound? First, I would say pray about it. And secondly, I would say find someone in your life that you can talk to. Not talk about someone else. Hey, they did this. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about coming to a place where I can say, there's something in me that's wounded. And I need you to help me come to a place. Maybe something like CR or Wild at Heart or some other avenue will help you do that. I would suggest you look at it. For you young men or you men that are looking at Wild Heart, there's only 10 slots, so they're going to fill up quick. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. And Lord, I'm thankful. First of all, in my own life, I'm thankful for the journey that you've taken me on. Thankful, God, for that I can honestly say that I comprehend what you said in Luke, that you came to bring me liberty. I've lived it. I've experienced it. And I've seen other people live it and experience it, God. And Lord, tonight I would ask that somehow the words that I've spoken, Lord, that it would not be just my words, but that your voice and your spirit would reach into the hearts and the minds of people. And we could come to a place where we can understand that maybe we've been wounded, or that we know people that are wounded and we can help them be at liberty. Lord, let this word just flourish and grow in our lives. Lord, help us to come to a place where we understand it's not okay, it's not right, the condition of our world, it's not right, the things that we see going on, but we understand that we live in a wounded world, and we have the balm of Gilead. We have that thing that heals. We have the answer to that wounded spirit, God. Lord, just whoever you're really reaching for today, I ask you, God, as you spoke those words to me, I ask you to speak them to their hearts. Just let this become alive in our lives, God. Lord, I want to get past every wound that this world and my own actions and mindset have caused in my life. And God, if I have been the source of any wound in any life, help me to understand that so that I can make it right, that I can help others to be set at liberty. Lord, we thank you for it. We praise you and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, and the church said amen.
Amen.
Amen. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord. Greet one another in Jesus' name.